Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi jana valava girivaradhari. Gopi jana valava girivaradhari. Gope jana valabha girivaradhari. Yashoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Yashoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Yashoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Yamuna te Ravanachari. Yamuna te Ravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ashtasaki Pancha Tattva Prahlad Maharaj Narasimhadev Bhagavan Ki Jai. Krishna. Good morning, everybody. Sorry, I missed Guru Puja and part of the announcements. But that was a very important point about appreciating devotees, right? I missed the first, there was a mention of Kadamba Kanna Maharaj. What was it in regards to? Oh, she read the quote about appreciating devotees. Yeah, it never gets old. and it never gets less important. Yeah, I wish I lived in Turkey Creek. It would be like, it would be faster here. Or somewhere in between. If you're listening, Brajananda Prabhu, he's a realtor. Is that allowed to endorse? No. Okay, I'm in trouble now. I'm in trouble now. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jaya mudiraye nashta praeshva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavatir naishtike. Before the reciting of Srimad Bhagavatam, I should offer his respectful obeisances unto Narayan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nara Narayan Rishi, Supermost Human Being, and the Goddess of Learning, Mother Sarasvati, and under the author, Srila Vyasadeva, as well as translator and commentator, Srila Prabhupada. By regular service rendered to Srimad Bhagavatam and to the person Bhagavatam, everything that is troublesome to the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord, who is praised by chosen hymns, is established from within as irrevocable fact. A reading from Third Canto, Chapter 12, The Creation of the Kumaras and Others, Text 30. Naitat purvai kritam tvadye. Naitat purvai kritam tvadye. Naitat purvai kritam tvadye. Nakarishyanti chapare. Nakarishyanti chapare. Nakarishyanti chapare. Yastvam duhitaram gache. Yastvam duhitaram gache. Yastvam duhitaram gache. Anigriya gajam prabhu. Anigriyanga jam prabhu. Anigriyanga jam prabhu. Naitat purvai kritam tvadye. Nakarishyanti chapare. Yastvam duhitaram gache. Anigriha gacham prabhu. pali yasvam duhi taranga che Adigrahyam gajam prabhu Naitat purvai kritam tvadhye Nakarishyanti chapare Yasvam duhitaram gache Adigrahyam gajam prabhu Naitaj purvai kritam tvadhye Nakarishyanti chapare Yastam duhitaram gache Nikram
Anybody else? Okay, word by word together. Or is it call and response? Call and response. Okay.
Na.
Never.
Etad.
Such thing.
Purvaihi.
By any other Brahma.
Or yourself in any previous kalpa.
Kritam.
Performed.
Tvat.
By you.
Ye.
That which.
Na.
Nor
Karishyanti
will do
cha
also
apare
anyone else
yaha
that which
twam
you
duhitaram
unto the daughter
gachehe
would go
anigriya
without controlling
angajam
sex desire.
Prabhu,
oh Father.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Oh Father, this performance in which you are endeavoring to complicate yourself was never attempted by any other Brahma, nor by anyone else, nor by you in previous kalpas, nor will anyone dare to attempt it in the future. You are the Supreme Being in the universe, so how is it that you want to have sex with your daughter and cannot control your desire?
Purport.
The post of Brahma is the supermost post in the universe, and it appears that there are many Brahmas and many universes besides the one in which we are situated. One who fills this post must be ideal in behavior, for Brahma sets the example for all living entities. Brahma, the living entity who is the most pious and spiritually elevated, is entrusted with a post next to that of the personality of Godhead.
Om Angyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dharati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Palita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Asking for blessings from all of you that we might say something that will be beneficial and pleasing to hear, uplifting and purifying for myself. So what is happening here? It's a blunder. How inappropriate. So this is the whole chapter is entitled Creation of the Kumaras and Others. So Brahma is a great devotee, and he was entrusted with a service of creation, secondary creation. It's like a considering like a contractor, right? You want to get something done, you just outsource and you hire a contract. So he's like that. But he's a very, very powerful, you know, first created being. As you know, his body is just pure intelligence, just like our body is mostly out of water. His body stretches and covers, it's implicated, well, yeah, in a creative ways. And the three-fourths of the universe, right, it's just like, it permeates everything. Four heads, right? So, go figure. How did that fit? But he's young. This is the dawn of creation. He's very young. He has a young beer, maybe. You know, you can see the depiction of young beer. Huh? Right now he's 50, but this is in the dawn of creation. Huh? Yeah. And he's concerning himself with the creation. If he just created four kumaras, which upset him because they disobeyed the order. So, from that anger, Shiva came. And then another set of sons, 10 sons, of it, Marichi, there's a spokesman here. He's speaking on behalf of all the sons. There's also Narada is there. But Marichi, who actually happened to come from his mind, he's addressing, in this verse, he's addressing Brahma, O Father. And if you notice in a previous verse, I don't know if you were there yesterday, he does that with a great respect. So you have like a contrast. Very inappropriate, highly immoral. It wasn't even an act, it was just a thought. He was contemplating, right? But I guess they could sense there was a way of understanding. What are you all about? They say the face is an index of the soul. And some people can read. And you can imagine at that time of high capabilities. These are personalities of very high capabilities. Marichi and all the sons of Brahma. So they understood there's something going on, something very funky. So they addressed him. Oh, Father, how is it that you are, that you want this, and you cannot control your desire? So, yeah, Brahma being, I guess we can say also, inexperienced, that might have contributed to this. This is a different time. It is the time before he has become bewildered by Krishna, when he stole the calves and cowherd boys. After that, actually, he has begotten the boon. Krishna blessed him. After that whole year in Vrindavan and just moment for Brahma, Krishna blessed him that he will never, he said, from now, you will never become overpowered by illusion. For as long as you stay in touch with devotional service. So this is our saving grace. This is our saving grace. Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate saguna samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Bhakti yogena mamchayo vyabhicharena. If one continuously is in touch with devotional service, they will never experience they will experience things. Things will be around, but they will never be affected. They will be able to overcome it. It's not that we become invisible. Like Srila Prabhupada said, he said, as a sannyasi, he said, there are times I think of my wife from my former life. That's natural, he said. But I don't go back. That is intelligence. Right? So, see, these are natural things, but what do we do with it? You can do, I guess, three things. You can act on it, which will make it worse. You can ignore it and pretend it's not there. Trust me, it won't go away. It won't go away. And you can shift. You can shift the perspective. You can take shelter of Krishna. This is how perspective is shifted. Because when we change the way we see things and interact with things, the things we see and interact, they change. Right? When we change the way we see and interact with things, when we change that, then the things that we see and interact with, they also change. So we can see Vak. Vak is the daughter, Saraswati. She's the, I believe, first daughter of Brahma. Perhaps that also contributed, the first lady in the room. Right? Oh, what is that? And that is also most natural. Like most girls, unmarried young girls, they respond. There's certain natural reaction to it, you know, to a person with a mustache. All the young unmarried ladies, they naturally respond. Or young unmarried men to ladies with swollen breasts. Or red lips. There's a natural reaction to that. But how do we see and how do we perceive and interact with it that's going to, and how do we define that that's going to define the way we engage? Very, very important. So, Brahma is challenged by something that it's called adirasa. So adirasa is this sex desire. It's most prevalent. It's all permeating in both spiritual and material illusion, the world of Maya. It's there. It's so pervasive. And is expected from leaders to protect the prajas, the society, the humanity in general, is to protect them from the onslaught of negative implications as one contemplates, as one develops desire to engage in inappropriate ways, as one develops the strong desire. So there's a contemplation, and as Brahma is contemplating, but there's also, as we allow this to go on, there's also something that's called strong desire, right? That's kama. That's the past, the point of Rubicon. I mean, it's the past, the point of no return. So there's like, some contemplation. Yeah, it would be nice, or like, maybe, yeah. It would be nice, but I want this. And there's a difference between that and I gotta have it. It's like blinded, completely driven by it. So although it's natural, we have to, I guess, with proper conduct and some manners, control this dog-like mind and body. We have to. And how do we do that? How do we do that when Krishna says, "Daivi hesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya"? It is impossible. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. Because even if we think on our own strength, don't even think about it. You cannot. It's Krishna's divine potency. But in the same verse, Krishna gives so much hope. But those who learn how to surrender unto me, very easily they can overcome it. So the whole ocean is, the whole ocean of rather threatening material existence is shrunk to the amount of water that is contained in a hoof print of a calf, not even a cow, it's a calf. In Giranagari we had calves from time to time. This is very small, even the cow, I mean, really, it's the same thing. But just to highlight and emphasize, it says the calf. It's a small amount of water, not a biggie, as they say, not a problem for a devotee. Why? Because devotee, he has shifted his consciousness. So he sees the world not as a threatening place, but he sees the world as the opportunity for service. We talked about that last time. Everything is the opportunity for service. Everything is the opportunity for growth. You will see also Brahma, he will kind of snap out of it. But he'll snap out of it because he was helped by curious and respectful inquiries, right? He wasn't judged. He wasn't criticized, right? We talked about that quote from Kadambakarna Maharaj. This is very appropriate. It's like, I want a copy of it. I want to soak it up because it was so nice and in the light of what's happening here. They inquired in a respectful way, although it was like a something unheard of, father running after the daughter. Whoa, daddy, what are you doing? Right? But they didn't criticize him because they were not envious of him. They didn't want his post. that wanted him to succeed. Wake up. So before people care how much we know, they want to know how much we care. This is the heart of any transformation. Nobody responds just on a heaviness and this is all. Most of you are parents, so you know as you are trying to educate in character also our children. We can criticize or judge them. We can use the positive language. Oh, you're such a nice boy. I'm surprised you're acting in such a way, right? Separating the behavior from the personal, as they say, brothers and sisters, followers of Jesus, as they say, don't hate this sinner. Hate the sin, right? So they're like that. They're very cultured. They're very cultured, and they are reminding him, hey, you know better than that. and respectfully addressing him. This is very important. The only reason we criticize others, do you know the only reason we criticize others? Somebody much louder, please. Who said the fault in our... Okay, one by one. This is many... There could be many, many different... There's no wrong answers. So, one by one, but loud and clear. Why do we criticize others? Somebody said fault in ourselves. Oh, you said it. Yeah, there's a saying, you spot it, you got it. Is that accurate? Yeah, we see. It's a reflection. Okay, somebody, you said something? Envy, yes. You're not in loving space, okay? This is all wonderful. Yes. You put somebody, he said, to put somebody down so we can elevate ourselves. Yeah, that is, yes. False ego, yes. Misery loves company. Yeah, come down on my level. I'm too comfortable with my misery and lazy to snap out of it. I don't want to come up. I want to bring you down. Okay. What else? Why do we criticize others? Any positive, constructive criticism example? This is a very positive, constructive one. Okay, yes.
So sometimes I say eat and meat, but one mind show people like what would be instead of that would bring bad karma. You know, like bring misery to others. And then the guy would say my scripture says, you know, that I can eat this. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to be very careful. Yeah, as we engage in unsolicited advice, you know, just becoming belligerent and giving out mercy left and right. we can get carried away. So I like to follow a very nice rule. It's my own personal rule. And, you know, it's saved me a lot of trouble. Unless I'm ready to serve, what is your name?
Max.
Unless I'm ready to serve back to Max in most menial ways, I have no right to correct his ways. If we keep that in mind, then it's good. There's a sense of protection, right? It's good. There's a sense of protection. So, Brahma is protected in this way. He's surrounded with a support system, his well-wishers, and he will be able to shake it off without this feeling of shame and guilt. Right? This is also very destructive. Feelings of shame and guilt that we might be feeling stuck with because we have made a mistake. So what if we made a mistake? Okay, let me make a mistake. Purposely. Just knock this off. We all make mistakes. You know, you drop cartels and the whole room just freezes. It's human to error, right? And it's what? Divine to forgive. You get mercy by giving mercy, right? And there's no mistakes, really, in a whole scheme of things. It was Krishna. Krishna wanted to teach whole humanity of the perils and deep dangers of this uncontrolled desire through Brahma, his very dear devotee. Ultimately, it was Krishna's. There's, of course, many external reasons why this happened. But it was Krishna's plan, you can say, Krishna's desire, to teach a lesson for all others, all of us, of dangers of this uncontrolled desire. Was there a mistake for Parikshit to become covered and garland with the snake? Was that a mistake? If that was like absolute mistake, there would be no Bhagavatam if Krishna didn't allow that to happen. Was there a mistake for Arjuna to become bewildered and not know what to do, although he's the greatest warrior ever? If that mistake wasn't there, there would be no Gita. Right? So all these things are there to teach us. Shiva also became bewildered by Mohini, teaching the same or showing the same point. Bilwa Mangala Thakur, you know, what happened there also. But what a crescendo, what an ending in that story, right? Twice, you know, on the time of his father's funeral. His father dies, and he goes on the same day, he runs to Chintamani in the dead of night, stormy night, heavy rains, crossing the river, holding what he has taught is to be a log, a tree. It was a dead body that he realized at the end. And he crossed, still didn't deter him, and he just kept going and driven with anigriya angajam, uncontrolled desire, banging at her door, and she spoke the words that will pierce his heart and transform him on the spot. They made the decision on the spot, I'm going to Vrindavan. And what did she told him? She said, my dear Bilwa Mangala, so much effort, so much energy, so you're trying so hard. Even if you use the fraction of all that endeavor, you'd have been pure devotee a long time ago. She was a devotee. She was, by external occupation, She was a prostitute, but in her heart, she was very pure. So she instructed him. And he took it. He took it. However, he had a little setback, or as they say, relapse, on the way to Vrindavan, where he also didn't act, had a thought. He was very close to that lady, but only asked for the needles from her hair. To do what? To say, my eyes, you are my enemy. And he pierced his eyes. We don't recommend this. This is not really our process. It's a very extreme example of somebody who is tired of this torment of the senses. And they can sodomize one's such a, like, mad ways, right? So he ended that by poking his eyes out. However, Krishna, when he reached Vrindavan, Krishna came to him. And he has developed the spiritual vision. And Krishna was coming and bringing milk to him every day, something, some sustenance for him to survive. And he would take him by the hand and he would show him Vrindavan. Not the Vrindavan that I see when I go, but the original Vrindavan, where this desire exists in a pure form. We cannot kill it, but sure, that is our mission, to purify it. That is our only job in this life, is to work very hard to purify. Higher taste, param drishtva nivartante. And in his book, he writes, Sri Krishna Karnamrita, right? How he writes a book, he starts by offering his respects to Chintamani, to his guru. So there's many examples, and we take great solace in those as we walk through our dark night of the soul, because that is anartha nirvriti. We'll feel alone, lonely. So something perhaps Brahma also felt. It's a dawn of creation. There's hardly anybody around. He just created four kumaras. They pissed him off. He's angry. He's upset. Maybe that also contributed to his compromising his immunity to illusion and becoming angry and upset with four kumaras, who are also like very high personalities. Remember what happened to to Jai Vijay, right? We can reflect on that. These are not, so becoming upset to the extent that, you know, from his, between the eyebrows, Shiva came out, Rudra, crying, just crying his head off. That could have contributed him becoming upset on his high power sons, four kumaras. And also the fact that, of course, there's a difference between loneliness and solitude. I think Brahma has mastered the solitude from the beginning, when there was nothing and no one around, just him. And then also he got the darshan of Krishna, full of knowledge. All the Vedas are coming from him. I mean, we can't even imagine the magnitude of his power. We can't even imagine. I mean, we have like pale examples of this world through celebrities and influencers. Who is it, like Elon's and other rich people? what they say, you know, gains traction, and they have a lot of, but that doesn't come even close. I mean, it's just a joke in comparison to how powerful Brahma is. And still, due to different reasons, he becomes affected by illusion. You know, something to keep in mind. It is definitely And in all of his humility, actually, he surrenders to that. Because it is not, it's a very bad situation, embarrassing, highly embarrassing situation that he puts himself through. Because Krishna has that plan. It's almost, I'm sure it's also traumatizing for your fault to become immortalized on the pages of Bhagavatam, right? For forever, right? You have to be very high caliber devotee. You have to be a very high caliber devotee to endure what Brahma is enduring here. And it doesn't see it in any other way. It doesn't become deterrent. It becomes something that will encourage him. He will learn the lesson. Well, then he stole the calves and coward boys. So again and again, you know, we'll be tested. But the point is not to... We can feel helpless, but never hopeless. Again and again, we'll try to encourage ourselves and encourage others on this path of purification. What else to do? What else is left? We can deny desires, but we can surely purify them. And then Krishna, from within, he will illuminate. He will illuminate. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajadam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantita. There's a very nice song by M.C. Yogi. You heard of M.C. Yogi? There's a beautiful song. It says, "Heaven is here. Heaven is here when the mind is clear. With love I dissolve my fear. Illuminate the path, bring the mind back. Illuminate the path, bring the mind back." This is our process. And then Krishna from within, dadami buddhi yogam, he will illuminate, he will give that intelligence by which we can make a change. We can topsy-turvy, turn it around and make it work for us. Any situation. What is it? Live and learn, right? Live and learn. Devotee is never ashamed. Actually, in a sense, devotee is shameless. Shameless to what extent, and how Krishna is merciful. But of course, the Apichet verse has a little caveat. You know, Do not take advantage of Krishna's kindness. For some accidental, unintentional mistakes, it will happen. This is the world we live in. So to forgive ourselves and to forgive others, it's the main way we're going to attract Krishna's mercy also. When our life also will become a testimony to Krishna's compassion and love. So we are shameless in that regard. That no matter how low I might think that I might be, that Krishna's love and compassion is, devotee's love and compassion is much greater than that. Otherwise, this feelings of shame and guilt, it will feel stuck with it. For how long? Until we forgive ourselves and forgive others. For how long? infinite. We've been here for a long time. So it's time to change that. Just like that. It's, oh, this is, this is nobody calling. It is just my reminder that it's 8:55. And that maybe I should stop talking and see what you all have to say. Hare Krishna. Yes, I see. Hand.
Thank you, Prabhu, for coming and giving the class. You mentioned that Chintamani, by occupation, was a prostitute, yet she was very pure.
Mm-hmm. Devotee.
What can you say about in one's occupation, they may be dealing with, you know, meat products or something, but they're very pure.
Mm.
What guidance?
Yes, that is. It's not good even for Chintamani. It wasn't the best situation, but circumstantially she was in that predicament, mm-hmm. and she accepted her destiny. For somebody who was, or who is in that situation you described. Same thing would apply. If they have no choice. The point is that devotional service has no impediments. So even if you're stuck, like there's a devotee in prison, I don't know what he's eating, but I'm trying to kind of be in touch with him. He's a young devotee, anyway, long story. He was in Krishna house for some time, but something that is done prior to that has caught up on him. Yeah, I'm 21. Ironically, he tried Alex, Bhakta Alex. Everybody knows him in Gainesville Krishna House. Such a sweet person, so sincere. Ironically, he has ended up in prison because some years back, when he was 16 or 17, he broke into prison to help his friend get him out, and he got caught in the process. It's just stupid, like dumb, young idea. but he was doing the work of a guru. That's what the guru does. He goes in to help people to get out. And hopefully guru doesn't get caught. So his situation, like, what is it? Like, does he not eat? So there, you know, there are situations that you have choices, and there are situations you have don't. However, in any situation, there's no impediment. We see the people of Russia, devotees who ended up in prison, the salted bread, right? The whole book. There's no, in our mind, we can serve Krishna. When the whole body is paralyzed, we can still serve Krishna. In our mind, we can offer sweet rice and get burned, and our fingers get burned. In our mind, we can build the road for Lord Chaitanya with golden tiles. He can walk on. In our heart, in our mind and in our heart, we can build the throne where Krishna will sit. So meat eating, of course, we don't want that. But if there's no choice, who was it? Somebody was a pioneer of preaching in Russia. Yes, he was talking to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, there's nothing to eat there. It's just, how come we're going to preach there when there's only meat? he said, so eat meat then, Prabhupada said. Eat meat and preach. This is an extreme example. And then he said, but Prabhupada, what will happen to my consciousness? And then what did Prabhupada said? To hell with your consciousness. extreme example, of course, this is not to be done regularly, but urgent times, they call for urgent measures. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Next time, please set your clock for 45
okay.
instead of 55.
Okay.
You brought up so many wonderful points that we would all like to discuss. I just want to especially thank you for pointing out the effective way to correct someone is not coming down with the hammer of judgment and criticism, because it's so easy to feel oneself right, that self-righteous feeling. But if we want to be actually effective in effecting change in the people that we see, we have to do, as you said, feel ourselves a kinship with them, a loving kinship. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that will make them want to take our good advice. That was such a powerful point. There were lots of other things you said, but I just wanted especially to thank you for that.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Ellen.
Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna. Good to see you.
Thank you. You too. Such a nice class. Thank you. Correct me if I'm wrong, please, but I remember reading that in this age, in Kali Yuga, in comparison to the other ages, that we're actually not responsible for our thoughts. So I thought that that was a good point that you were saying. You know, it's the thought instead of, you know, actually going out and acting on the desire. But my question is, from the perspective of the daughter or the mother, and the for someone who's actually crossed the line and committed offense like that, it's such a grievous offense, you know, it's considered basically like the lowest in our society to, for a father to do something like that to their daughter. Well, my question is, what advice would you give to the daughter who's had that offense committed upon them? How could they look at that in a forgiving, like, spiritual way, and for the mother and that type of thing?
Yeah. Good point. I didn't even consider that. And it's so important. How was that for her? Traumatizing. It's a situation of abuse. It didn't happen, but everybody felt it. So it must have been a traumatizing experience of subtle but abusive situation. So that is actually very difficult.
I know it's a loaded question.
Yeah, it's not loaded. It's a reality. It's a reality. We live in a world where there are those. Although it's interesting here, it says that this kind of endeavor to complicate your life will not be done by anyone else. Not will anyone dare to attempt it in the future. So I guess we are not included in the future. It's something that it's unimaginable. But yet, we see, we live in a world today where, you know, even from youth, the youth from 12 to 22, they're exposed to so much of inappropriate content. Over 85% are regular consumers of inappropriate content online. And yeah, I'm sure it's pushing, the boundary is being pushed. So do we blame the daughter for not wearing hijab? This is the proper use of power, taking responsibility, and that's what Brahma does. So all the healing starts with that. All the healing starts from proper use of power. So Brahma has the power. Young daughter, she's just created. So we hope and pray that she heals from all the things nobody apologized for. And I'm sure, I don't know, it's not here on the pages of Bhagavatam, but Father would, I would think Father will apologize, a kind Father would apologize. And there will be some healing that would take place. And that takes time. It takes time to grow a tree. It takes the moment to chop it. So we have to always, you know, remember that. The power of our words and power of our thoughts and our act. Yes. Sorry. You're always hiding. You were there all the time, the whole time? Yes. My God, you blended. I totally...
Camouflage.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to say thank you first because, you know, we always hear about the benefits of being in the Bhagavatam class. And so today I came kind of like in this funny kind of mood. And I'm just sitting here feeling like my brain being washed, you know, like just really feeling that. Yeah, this is the best place to be, and I'm just grateful. And I wanted to say to Ellen's question, maybe kind of related to that, that everything is in the process of Krishna consciousness. You know, Prabhupada gave us everything, so if someone has had some kind of, you know, I mean, we've all had so many negative experiences, you know, but if there's even just the desire that maybe I want to forgive, but I can't, I just still feel too angry, just keep going. Because the process of Krishna consciousness is purifying. And it'll come. It will come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it takes time to process things. Yeah, so just give it a time. Oh, there's there. Okay.
I'm responding to your response to Ellen.
Mm.
The power of apologizing. We may not realize how much abuse of one kind or another has gone on in this movement, or in our individual lives, but I was remembering how one time at Gita Nagari, when His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was giving a seminar, I think he was talking about women, children, and gays, or something like that. It was such a hot topic that had never been discussed before. And he had actually been out of operating within ISKCON for like 8 years or something like that. And at that class, he personally apologized for all the wrongs that had been done to the women in this movement. And I have a god sister who'd undergone quite some suffering, and no one had ever apologized. And when he did, she had to go out of the room and into some private place and sob and sob and sob, because the act of his apologizing was so powerful on her heart that it, you know, began the healing process. We're saying, how does the person heal if they've been a victim? But it really helps if those that have some responsibility or are connected to those who have some responsibility actually apologizes. It's so powerful.
Yeah, it's so much nicer. Yeah, it's so much nicer. Are we finished, or there was a hand there? It's so much nicer to say I'm sorry than get over it. We use that.
Yes, but sometimes we may not get that apology.
So I say I'm sorry for all the things that no one apologized to you for. And that's a good start.
Yes. Well, thank you. But taking shelter of Bhagavad Gita is also an apology in one sense, because it tells us that we're not the body, right? We're not the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So by taking shelter also in the right places,
mm-hmm.
right, then we can also learn to forgive and proceed with the understanding, wow, I'm something more than this body. Right? I'm something more than someone's, you know, spouse or daughter or this or that. Right? So mm-hmm. I think that's a, you know, also a form of relief. Right?
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Seeking shelter of the ultimate source or ultimate shelter of everyone can be much better use of time and energy than fight for justice. Although fight for justice does have place in our movement and need for protection. We can't just dismiss things that are inappropriate. But taking full responsibility, that's why I said the right use of power, it's very, very, it's a big topic. And ultimate shelter of everyone is Krishna, of those who are hurt and prosecuted, and those who are prosecuting. So there's a victim, prosecutor, and the savior. That's the drama triangle. For every drama, you need that triangle. So sometimes we find ourselves on each of these points. Sometimes we are done wrong. Sometimes we have done others wrong. And sometimes we are in a role of a savior. In all those situations, forgetting Krishna, it can be very troubling. So yeah, you're absolutely right. But at the same time, we also have to reflect on social dynamics and right use of power. Not just anything goes. All right, I think we are way over, but you know, I will, until you stop me, I'll just.
Just a quick point. The scripture warns that great controllers should not be seen in the same light like regular mortals. You know what I mean? Like Shiva, Brahma, Krishna, so forth.
Yes.
That should be behind our mind.
Yes. They are very, very high devotees. Thank you all very much for your kind participation and presence here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Sitana Premanandi.